Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses, and I talk super fast as I do it. Today's guest is someone that I actually turned down for an interview. He sent me an email. He said, Andrew, I've got this thing. I think it's interesting. I think you should interview me. And I said, thanks. No. And then he shot me another email. He said, Andrew, I think this makes sense. And he told me a little bit about it, something about respect-based funnels. And I thought, you know what? I like respect. Maybe there's something here. I'm kind of interested in funnels, maybe out of personal curiosity. Tell me more. So he didn't just tell me more. He shot a screen sharing video for me where he walked me through step by step how he does his email funnels. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. What he does is he asks people a question and then he stores their answer. And then when he sends them what they asked for, when they subscribe to his email newsletter, he tells them in the email, this product that you asked for is especially good for, and then he inserts what they said they were trying to do in the question that he asked on his website. And then when they hit the link to come to the website, even though everyone comes into the same website, he switches out the benefit based on what people said they wanted when they filled out the initial survey question on his site. And he showed me like a bunch of stuff like that. It was all pretty interesting, but also, and clever, but also kept simple. And I thought, you know, I'm going to indulge myself out of curiosity. I'm really fascinated by this guy. Let's have him on here to do an interview. Apparently, I'm not the only one who he's worn down this way. He's done this a lot. He's persistent. He is determined. And it's gotten him a lot of friends in the tech space. All right. So his name is Bastian. Actually, his name is Bastian, but you want to sound American for some reason. I think you should sound a little foreign. You've got that whole foreign look to you.
It should sound French, no? Bastian.
Yeah, Bastian. Yeah,
why not? All right. Why not?
But you prefer the American pronunciation, you told me, so I'll respect that. It's Bastian.
It's just easier, you know? Yeah, it's just easier.
His name is Bastian Ernst. He is the founder of Wild Audience. It offers respect-based funnels that get people to feel, act, and convert. Let me put some flesh on that. Basically, if you like what he's doing, he teaches a course that does it, but more and more what he does is about half of his business, he says, comes from doing it. So it's a service-based business where he will put this type of marketing into his clients' businesses and set them up right. All right, this interview is sponsored by two great companies. One, I have to admit to you guys, I intentionally moved into this interview because I know that Bastian uses them. It's called ActiveCampaign. It's great for sending out email. He uses it. And the second is a company that will help you hire phenomenal developers and finance people. It's called TopTal. I'll tell you about both those later. But first, Bastian, come on. Why? Where are you from? That you've got such an interesting name that you want to Americanize it.
Yeah, so I was actually born in Austria, man, in Vienna. That's where everything started, and then I left that place to go to Silicon Valley. And actually, the way I got there was a similar approach than what I did with you, right?
Yeah, you were at a conference. What's the It's a conference in Vienna. What was the conference in Vienna?
It's called Pioneers.
Okay.
It's like a yearly thing, and there was this one guy, and I saw him. I was like, oh, he's cool. You know, I was this little kid. Stelly Efti.
What do you think about, give me a sense of when this was.
Straight up, like last year of university. So that was like a couple of years ago, four years ago.
2015.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So did he have swagger at the time? Because I've known Stelly for a long time. He was super smart, but I've said this to him. Once he hit it, once his business, Close.io, this CRM software, went well, and he got good at content marketing, he developed the swagger. Before then, I believe he was like this nerdy little kid almost all the time who was eager and determined, but he had no swagger.
He was the gangster, man, when I met him. He was the gangster.
Tell me what it was about him that attracted you that we're talking about him all these years later.
Ah, dude, like, you know, he had this black leather jacket and he was like on stage on fire. Like everyone on that, you know, in that room was like, man, this guy. And like all the kids in my age were like, oh, I want to work with this guy, right?
And by the way, the thing that he sells is software for managing your sales. This is not like the cool thing at all, right? This is Glenn Ross type tools. But what is it about him that made you like him so much?
Stories. One story, you know, like when I was there, he didn't know me nothing. Like he was telling stories about people. And then a year later, after I worked for him, I was at a different conference with him there. And then he, you know, told a story about me, right? So that was really cool. He's just telling stories.
And he is really good at telling stories. Okay. And so you saw him there. He didn't know you from anyone else in the audience.
Nothing.
But you'd said, I'm determined to do what?
Like my goal was that he remembers my name. Like in two days, 2-day conference.
Why?
I want... Well, you know, I wanted to work for him. I was like, all right, if I, because, you know, he had the book, he wanted to sell the book, right? Like give away the book. There was a, you know, line of hundreds of people my age, right? And I was like, okay, how can I? And like my friend, all my friends were like, I want to work for this guy. I want to work for this guy. Right. So I was like, okay, the most important thing is that he remembers my name, right? Out of all these people. And then in the end, basically what he said was, I remember.
Wait,
like,
before
it was
you say what
day.
He says, what did you do to see that right. goal through?
That's a good one.
Tell me what you did.
So basically, the first thing I did, like, you know, I went home after the first day. I was like in love. I, you know, stalked him everywhere. I liked him. I tweeted him. I messaged him, like everything. He saw me online, right? Then I looked up all our friends in common on Facebook. I got them to message Sally, like, hey, you know, I have this friend, you know, you don't know me, but hey, you gotta check out Bastion, right? So like 3-4 people did that, right? And then the second day, I was, you know, in the first, you know, first at the queue. And when he gives away the books and he was like, literally like, dude, don't stalk me, right? You're such a stalker. Right?
'Cause he was genuinely upset, or was he being cute?
He was upset. Yes. Okay. You know, he was upset. Right. But then he said, don't stalk me, Bastian. Right. He said my name. I was like, so that was pretty cool. And, you know, like a couple of emails later, a week, like literally 2 weeks later, I was flying over to Silicon Valley.
He flew you there?
No, I flew over.
To do what?
To start my internship.
Oh, not to keep stalking him. He gave you an internship at that point?
Yeah.
To do what?
Like, so basically after that, you know, don't stalk me, like, conversation, I read all of his books, and then we had a call. I managed to get a call, and then I basically used his sales tactics in the call, and that was this moment. He's talking about the virtual close, basically putting the person into the, you know, the situation of being closed, right? And I did the same thing with him, and he noticed it. And he was like, all right, come over. And then that's what I did.
And he recognized that you were doing this. He was proud of it. And he said, okay, come on over. What did you do for him?
Sales.
What kind of sales did you do for him?
My title was, I was a hustler, and I was doing, I was being an SDR. So I was qualifying people, right?
SDR. This is sales development rep. These are the people who take the random email addresses that we get online and convert them into sales calls for real salespeople who are going to really close them.
Exactly.
What did you do for him? How did you get those random email addresses of people, and what did you do to convert them into calls? You got to tell me Stelly's system.
Yeah, so that's how it works. So they do awesome content, right? So Stelly's all over on YouTube and everywhere, blog posts and stuff, right? So they get lots of inbound. Everything is inbound.
Yeah.
And then there are people like me who qualify these people, right? So the goal is within 5 to 15 minutes, pick up the phone, call them, right?
As soon as they put their contact information in, you call them.
For the trial.
For the trial of the close.io software, you call them?
Hey, what's up, John? Just saw you, you know, sign up for the trial. I just want to give you, you know, hi, what's up? And then you just start a conversation. You go through the qualifying questions and so on. Yeah.
And then if they qualify, then you say, you know, we have somebody here, not who can sell you on this, but who could do what?
Give you a demo. Show you how to use Closer. So yeah, exactly. And then they use Closer.io, the demo Closer.io, and then use Closer.io to close the person.
I can't get people on the phone who are in my family because nobody picks up the freaking phone. I have to text message them. How do you get people to pick up the phone?
Well, so depends. Like, so at the stage where you can actually, we call it the conversion event, right? So for us at Wild Audience, we do that when someone buys a front-end product or joins the webinar, right? So if someone joins the webinar, for example, and then, you know, sees the offer, we tag them in active campaign, right? And only if they see the offer and join the workshop, the webinar, boom, we call them because we have the phone number because they sign up with the phone number.
But then are they going to pick up the phone from a random stranger? They're not worried that it's spam?
Depends. It really depends. Yes. So often, you know, you just keep on calling people, but then you have like really handy features like it's called smart dialing. So basically, it dials a lot of people at the same time, and you just keep on ringing phones. You know what I mean?
This is in close.io.
For example, yeah.
Got it. And so you can only, you're not sitting there dialing your phone. They get through. You know what I know that, I think I'm okay saying this. I know I learned from Anton from Sumo. I think he's at AppSumo or Sumo.com. I don't remember which of those two sister products he's with. Mm-hmm. But he's the one who said, I never knew about SDRs. Now we have SDRs, and I didn't know how to work with them. And he said that one of the things they do is they do text message people. I said, look, my wife and I, she's not going to pick up the phone unless I text her. So I text her before and say, hey, I'm going to you around for a call. And then she says, yes, she gets to a place where she can make a call. She can pick up the phone. Did you guys do that at Close? Do you do that now at Wild Audience?
No. We haven't tried that. We should. Okay. I like
we
it.
We should. All right. Was it useful to work for Stelly? And if it was, tell me what you learned from him. What else?
Yeah, man. Like that's like if someone is in a stage of, you know, before starting a company, or like just being young, the best thing you can do is pick out your mentor, like pick him, right? So I was like, okay, this is my guy, right? And basically I wasn't in for the money. I wasn't in for it. The only thing what I wanted is have a weekly coffee on Wednesday where he walks to the coffee shop and I can, you know, walk with him and ask him all of my questions.
So you'd work for him for free if you could do all that.
Costs, like my costs were like covered, but it didn't make any money. You know what I mean? And my money was the life advice, the experience, everything.
What were you hoping to do with this?
You know, that's like what I do right now is it comes all from that experience, right? This Silicon Valley experience, these couple of months, almost a year.
What do you mean? The product that you turned into a service? Is that it?
No, for me, it was like the conversations I had on the phone, right? The people I talked to because of Stelly, the conversation I had with Stelly and his team, right? So like this whole experience is the foundation of what I do right now. You know what I mean?
Okay. It's not that he taught you how to customize landing pages and so on.
No, that I started myself.
That's you. But I do believe that he did teach you how to bring in salespeople for online courses and more importantly for your services. A lot of service businesses are not good at that. I'm not good at having salespeople. That's what you got from him.
That, but more, I think the big picture, what is SaaS? What is software? How does business work, right?
Oh, he even so that, the basics stuff. Like that. Okay. I'm going to say this. Anyone who's listening to this who's interested in sales, Stelly is highly underrated because he is a software guy. He's not a guy who really spends a lot of time on his own personal brand, even though you said he does YouTube videos, he speaks at events. But really, you know the guys who are authors who do nothing but promote themselves. He's not that guy. He actually is running a sales organization. So people underestimate him. That freaking guy is so damn good. He is so good and keeps getting better. And I believe we're now doing this in 2018. Someone's going to listen to this in 2023. You're not going to be able to talk to him by then. He's just going to hit that level where he's unattainable. And, you know, rightfully so. Okay. So that's what got you into Silicon Valley. You started working for him here. I actually don't believe he needs to be in Silicon Valley. And one of the reasons that I don't think he needs to be is he's running a sales organization. He's not so much SaaS related anymore. Because look at how much did it cost you to live? Or what environment did you live in when you lived here?
Well, in Silicon Valley, I was living in a garage, right?
Literally in a garage.
In a garage. There was no windows. It was just huge, badass garage door, right? And I paid at that time, a couple of years ago, right? Now it's probably more expensive. At that time, it was $800 US. And I shared the garage with five dudes.
There were five other dudes sleeping in the garage?
Yeah, exactly. In the morning, since there was no light, boop, we opened the door. The air comes in. The light comes in. But I loved it. It was
great. And then whose garage was it in? Stelly's?
No, that would be cool. That would be really cool. No, it was a huge, you know, house. It was basically some student rented the whole house and, you know, sub-rented it to a lot of people. We were 15 people in the house.
Like a hacker house type of thing, as they call it.
It was a hacker house.
And it was exactly. all in there. I feel like there's a real estate play in that now. Just buy one of these houses in South Bay and cram a bunch of people in there. And you said to yourself, listen, if I'm going to do anything for myself, I can't live like this. Right?
Pretty much. So for me, it was like, I had to like think about, okay, you know, I always knew I want to do my own company, but do I want to double down, commit and work for someone? Or is it time to burn the bridges and do my own thing? That's kind of like the situation I was in.
And burning the bridge meant leave the people who you met here in the San Francisco Bay Area and go somewhere where it's cheaper, where you could start your own business.
That's the idea, right? I went down south to Costa Rica and Colombia because I wanted to save some money. Silicon Valley is amazing to meet people, you know, brainstorm, get inspired and work. But if you don't have revenue or high salary, it's not a place to be. But you know, of course, South America is close. So that's cool.
Yeah, South America is a really good place to go. I would even suggest, I've been thinking about it, Middle America is great also. The nice thing about Middle America is you could still buy Apple products if you need them, right? If you need a laptop without dealing with their insane taxes down in South America. You could get Amazon delivered in 2 days. Like, I think that we're underestimating parts of the U.S., partially because we're not interested in them and they don't seem exotic enough, and partially because we just don't have like a Tim Ferriss who went to Iowa and decided that that's where he was going to like write about. But okay, you decided, I'm going to go and find someplace cheap to live. Did you have a business in mind at that point?
No, you know, at that time I was just like, all right, I got to figure out what to do. And what I did was I just worked for the people freelancing, right? So I worked for a bunch of people. I pivoted a few times. I was like, okay, I got to, like, you know, Videofruit, Brian Harris, you probably know as well.
You worked for him? Right?
No, I didn't work for him. I learned a lot from him. I bought one of his courses on the Chaperone, right? So I started to study all these people, right? And then worked for other people. And at one point, I just started my own thing.
What's the what are the freelancing type gigs that you had?
There was one company I was doing email marketing for them, right? The other company I was doing SEO, right? My first idea, and I started this in Silicon Valley, was, all right, I like tech because I studied computer science. I like marketing. So how can I combine it? So I was like, okay, I want to be the technical marketing guy. Right. So I started to write a blog. So that was
when you
idea.
Say technical marketing, you don't mean you're going to code things up from scratch. You just mean, hey, look, there are tools out there that people don't know about, like Write Message. I'll know it. I'll figure it out really well and I'll implement it and I'll be that guy.
Exactly. I mean, at the beginning, I was still like scripting and doing Python stuff and so on. But now, you know, there's no need. There's like all these tools. It's awesome.
Okay. Got it. All right. So you're starting to do all this work and then you're to get people to know that you exist, you start blogging.
Yes.
And your blogging was, can we say, not very good?
It was actually, you know, I put something out but for me, this stage was all about finding my voice. Who am I? How do I communicate? How do people perceive me? Right. And what am I good at? Right. And that's the finding my voice stage is all about just picking one voice, either audio, you know, video or written form. Right. I, you know, picked the writing stuff and I started to write and I put something out on Inbound, which is kind of like a forum for marketers, like the Facebook in the past. And you know, I got lots of traction and, actually it was the top, you know, talked about thing for a week, but it was 50-50, 50% negative, 50% positive. And I was just like, how can people be so negative? Right. How can people be so negative? The first time I was like, exposed to, like, you know, internet hate, you know what I mean? But then this one guy, he said, Nathan, he said, like, hey, dude, like, just think about it. Just imagine, like, if no one gave a damn, right? No one would comment. No one
just
would
appreciate,
you know, like,
that people hate it.
Exactly. It's like people, you know, they appreciate you enough, you know, that they actually put a negative comment, right? And I was like, ah, that's actually cool. It would have sucked if no one commented at all, right? So I took that, I learned from it, and that's when I.
What did you say that got so many people heated up one way or the other?
Just people were like, this is bullshit. Like, this sucks.
Yeah,
man.
But what,
like,
did you say? Make America great again? What was it?
No, I was just like, the way I write, you know, the way it's written, there were grammar mistakes because English is not my first language, right?
Oh, okay.
They're like all these things, right?
And what was the main message that you were putting out there?
The main message was, what was the thing about? It was about funnels. Yeah, it was about funnels. And, oh no, the first thing was about audience first, startup second, right? So I was like, okay, I don't want to just start an MVP, build an MVP, a minimum viable product. I first want to grow an audience. Right. So I said, okay, I'm first going to grow an audience. I'm going to ask them, hey, what do you guys want? And then I'm going to build that. And then I'm going to launch the MVP to the audience.
Okay.
That was the idea. And that was what the article was about.
Okay. That was it. And the people didn't disagree with you so much with that as they just didn't like the way that you were writing it.
Both ways. They didn't like, it's like, why would you grow an audience? It's just so much work. And I'm sure, you know, like building an audience is a lot of work.
So strange that they would do that. Here's the message actually. And now that you've mentioned it, I was able to go back and find it. Oh, you actually put it right on their site too, 2 years ago. Wow, a lot of views. Okay. I'm building an engaged audience first before starting my company and why you should too. Oh, and I see already I'm bothered by the headline and I have no, like, it's not the message. Company is capitalized. Audience and first are capitalized, but engage is not. The word and is capitalized, but strangely the word you is not capitalized and neither is too. It's just like random. And then it's Seth Godin says, exactly. Marketing is the first thing we do, not the last. If everyone zigs, you have to zag. Remember, many of my friends start companies but fail. The CEO of Dropbox, Drew Houston, once said, you need to build 10 companies to get one big hit. I see what it is. It is.
And now you can go to, you know, Wild Audience articles and then scroll to the first article. And that's the iterated version of that.
Okay.
And that's what I learned from this.
It takes me right in there. And this was updated just about 2 months ago. Yeah, now it looks really nice. The capitalization makes sense. almost. Still almost. The word use is either supposed to be capitalized or everything else maybe shouldn't be. But I get it. Okay. All right. Okay. This makes a lot of sense. This looks a lot better. I don't even think I could describe it. All right. So I see it. You're trying to make a name for yourself, trying to think through ideas, trying to be big and bold the way that Steli was on stage. And some people like it, some
finding
people
my
don't.
Voice. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Then at that point, you still have no product. You know what? Before we get into that, let me talk about TopTal. Listen, you paid $800 for a garage. You should see there are a lot of this is going to connect to the TopTal commercial.
Yeah.
There are people who here in San Francisco make $400,000 a year being developers for major companies, still cannot freaking buy a house without borrowing from their family. We're talking about a real issue in San Francisco. So how does this relate to TopTal? Phenomenal developers are so smart that they think, why do I need to put up with this? Why do I need to be a great developer, work for a top company, have everyone praise me for being so good and admire that I have free lunch, and then go home to a place that I can barely afford, that I have to go to my parents and ask them for a handout? There's got to be a better way. And so a lot of them will say, you know what? I know what my better way is. I'm actually going to go live in a different country. I'm actually going to go live in the part of the country that I like. I'm actually going to not sit in traffic going from San Francisco to Mountain View just because I'm a great developer and Google gave me a job. But these people are smart. They want big problems to solve, to think through. And so what they do is they go to TopTal. And often TopTal will say, sorry, you've gone through our process. We're not going to let you in the TopTal network. But sometimes a person makes it through the TopTal network through their series of rigorous tests, and they're in the network. And now when a business like yours or mine needs killer developers, we can just go to TopTal and say, here's what we use. We use this language. We use this style. We communicate this way. We need someone who can communicate in this attitude, in this way, and work with us and join in on calls at this. And they get it to you. That's the beauty of TopTal. If you're looking for a developer and really you want someone who can outthink the solution to a problem, it's many entrepreneurs think, I got a problem and I know the answer. I need somebody who go code it. If that's you, you're making a mistake. What you're better off doing is saying, I have a problem. I need someone who can come up with a better solution than me because they know the software better than me, because they know how to code better than me. If that's what you're looking for, I want you to go to a special URL where, as Mixergy listeners, you're going to get 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours. And that's in addition to a no-risk trial period of up to 2 weeks. And if at the end of the period you're not 100% satisfied, you will not be billed. Listen to that. In fact, forget listen to that. Go read it on the site. It's top is in top of your head, tal is in talent, TOPTAL.com/Mixergy. In the past, I've told you guys to go and share it with your friends. It looks like they're asking me on this website to not share it with our friends. This is private just for Mixergy people. I was doing that because I wanted to juice my results. I thought, look, everyone in my audience has somebody who they know who needs a developer. What if I could get them to spread the word and then this ad's going to look killer successful? Apparently, TopTal does not want this spreading. Okay. All right. I was trying to growth hack it. Let's talk about the first product. Now you're starting to develop an audience. Some people hate you. Some people like you. Many are intrigued. And you decide, I'm going to start offering something. What was it that you were going to offer? What's that first thing?
So here's how I did it. So I remember I had my first customer when I was in Panama, and this guy paid me $97. He was from Brazil, Mario. And at that time I had, you know, no product, no nothing. The only thing I had was a sales page, and four emails and like a homepage, right? And my goal was I want to sell, you know, one course before I'm going to start building this thing. The way I did it was I wrote a blog post similar to the one which you just read, right? I put it into Growth Hackers inbound and Facebook groups, especially Facebook groups. Facebook groups are a killer. I remember I posted it into one group. I got like 220 signups for that. They went through my funnel, which is basically a couple of emails. It was very simple at that time, a sales page and then a 97, you know, bucks checkout page. And that's how I validated the whole thing. Right. And then together with a bunch of people, actually over 25 people in the beta group, we built the whole product together. That's kind of like
you
how
had
I
25 people to pay you when you had nothing to sell them. And then
$97
for $97, you put them in a Facebook group and you all created the solution together.
Exactly. Put them into Facebook group. Was like, hey guys, all right. So I'm thinking about these three lessons. What do you guys think? Right. And the best part was the course was delivered via email, via ActiveCampaign again. Right. So every
Bastian, what was the offer that got them to give you $97?
How to build a funnel.
It was just how to build a funnel.
Okay. You got it.
And so you put them in a group and you said, here's how I think I'm going to teach you. They saw that and then they helped shape it. Why did they trust you enough to give you $97 for how to build a funnel?
Because I wrote that second blog post, right?
Which what was the second blog post? Give me a keyword I can search for.
8 steps to an evergreen sales funnel, right? I wrote that in June. In July, I had my first customer. And basically, the blog post was a very light version of the product I wanted to build, right? So I knew someone who reads it and signs up for this is a high potential.
Okay.
Right?
So, okay. And this you said, blog post was here's what I envision, and some people took you up on that. They get in there. Tell me how they changed your product because of the feedback they gave you.
Basically, I didn't really know what to put there. Do the people want automations, templates, or was it more in a strategic kind of like writing type of things, right? So everything, like they gave me direction. And the best part is these people became my friends. And the reason they did it, the reason why they joined for $97 and why they paid someone they didn't know was because what I told them is, hey guys, this is a new product. This is not available yet. It's a better thing. But what you get is you get the polished product in the end. You will be part of the whole process building it, and you get unlimited coaching over a lifespan, right? And that's what I promised them, and unlimited refund. So it was an easy decision for them.
Okay. Got it. I see what you're doing. I see why they signed up. Give me one more thing that changed because of them, and then we'll go into what you did next.
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing, because of these people, I had so many conversations, right? And I just started to understand my market. I started to understand the way they think, right? And as we always say, like, you know, if you start a company, the customer avatar, and that's what we do now with our clients, from customer avatar to positioning to business model, right? The messaging, the belief system, the belief mapping, all these things, they're based on who you serve, right? And if you have a small group of people you can actually talk to on a regular basis and they actually like talking to you, that's, you know, a gold mine.
Ah, so you had your avatar and you had them to go back to. And anytime you had an idea, you could go back and run your idea by them.
Yeah, exactly. Because every time you sell something, it's always based on the belief system, right? And the belief system is how people believe. And these people were my source, like where, you know, figured out like what people believe, right? So, you know, the question I ask myself, okay, what do people need to believe before they can buy my stuff, right? And instead of just assuming it or like thinking about it, I just asked these people. You know, I had conversations.
Okay. All right. Then you said, I got them from blogging. Let's try some ads. Ads, SEO, partnerships, you wanted to have something new. Of all of those that I just talked about, what did you try that sucked and what did you try that finally worked?
You know, I had these 25 people and for many months, you know, I made a little bit of money, but nothing really, you know, increased, no growth or whatsoever, right? I was stuck.
It's just $2,500 bucks, or did you sell more of those?
Say again?
How did you make more money after the first 25 people?
So basically every time I got a new customer, I increased the price, right? From 97 to 100 and 125 and so on, right? Until I reached 600. And then basically at that point, I was doing all kinds of different things, right? I was blogging. I was trying to optimize for SEO, and I was doing Facebook groups. I was trying YouTube, all these things. And then I was like, all right, there's a story. I'm sure you know it from Warren Buffett and Bill Gates of like, you know, when they sat down for dinner at Bill Gates' mom's, you know, house. And then, you know, Bill's mom, you know, asked the both of them, right? Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, hey, what's the single most, you know, the biggest reason why you guys are so successful, right? And both, you know, looked at each other and said, like, focus, right? And when I first read that story, and the thing, I'm not sure where I read it, and I was like, oh gosh, like, that's not what I'm doing, right? And that's when I removed all of my traffic and traction channels and just focused on one thing, and that was Facebook ads.
Okay.
And at that time, I worked really well for us, and that's when everything kicked off.
Okay.
Focusing on one thing.
What was it about the ads that worked? What did you do different from other people?
The ads, there was not the technicality of the ad, you know. It was for me putting my energy and my focus on one thing, right? And that was the ad, right? That's Facebook. It could have been anything, I think. It could have been YouTube. It could have been, you know, whatever.
It was just that you picked one and kept tweaking it. But you, after you tweaked it, you found something that worked. What worked about your ads?
What worked about them was the congruency, okay? So, and you mentioned that before, is you have the ad, and someone who sees the ad sees exactly on the page what he or she expects, right? And then we collect some data, we use that data to, again, show them content they expect, right? So we build up the trust, the relationship by being relevant, right? Being personal, but customizing everything, and then, you know, optimizing everything to for engagement, that actually, once they check out the webinar, check out the sales call, whatever, right? They have all these beliefs, right, which I mentioned before, they have them installed so that the sales conversation, the yes conversation, is then way easier. That makes sense. So the whole funnel is kind of optimized for that. And that's a cool thing. That's why it works so well.
Okay. Wait, tell me more. Tell me more, because I'm intrigued by this. And I know we can't get into the whole description of it here on the call, but I want to be able to visualize it.
Yeah. Okay. The first thing is you pick one traffic channel. Okay. One, whatever you want to choose. You send them to a thing where you can capture, start controlling the conversation. Usually we start control the conversation via email. It could also be bot, right? Let's say it's email, right? So we give something in return, which is the lead magnet, right? A lead magnet is basically a PDF. It could be a blog post turned into a PDF. You give that away. You put a cover, that's it, right? So you run the ad to the lead magnet, right? And then instead of just sending them automated emails, what everyone does, right? Instead of doing this, you get them to raise their hand, right? You want to ask them for permission, right? Hey, I just saw you sign up for this lead magnet. You know what? And you told me you have this problem. You know what? I have this 6-lesson course. It's for free and it helps you solve the problem which you just told me you have, right? You want to sign up, right?
Got it.
Then when they say yes, raise their hand, I want to sign up, we ask them 4 more questions to collect some data. We store the data in ActiveCampaign or any other ESP you have, CRM. And then we play out the funnel, which is usually 7 emails, could be 7 bot messages.
Same 7 emails, same 7 bot messages, but now they different ones depending on what they answer? No, I think it's the same, but there are pieces that are changed based on the answers that they gave you.
Exactly.
So let me put it this way. So it might be a landing page for you that says, I can help you create a funnel. In that case, it seems too generic. No one's going to feel like it's exactly for me. But if you say, I can help you create a funnel, why do you want a funnel? And one option is, I need more consulting clients. Then when the email comes to me, it's, I'm going to teach you how to create a funnel so that you can get more email clients. And then you do the same thing with the next 4 questions that you ask me. You just take the answers and you plug them in. The difference between this versus like Ryan Levesque would, I think, have you create different funnels for each one of those people. And that's a lot of work. And many people can't even get 10, 20, 50 people to come into their funnel. And now I think, and Ryan could correct me if I'm wrong, I think his ask method says now create 5 different sequences based on which bucket they fall into. And what you're saying is don't create 5 different sequences. Have one email sequence. It's much easier to manage. Have one landing page. Have one sales page. But find some spots that are blank that you fill in the blanks based on what they told you. Am I summing up your process right?
That's right. Exactly. Like per email, maybe we change 2 sentences, right? So instead of writing the whole thing, we just changed the most important parts, right? To talk directly to them and their problem. The thing what you want is you want to figure out the problem and the goal so you then can create a funnel that bridges the problem to the goal, right?
And the 2 tools that you showed me in the video that you created for me that enable it is ActiveCampaign. And you're right, you can use any other email service provider, but the thing about ActiveCampaign that makes them special is they have these fill in the blanks, right? A lot of stuff that you could do in other places, they keep simple. They say, you need to fill in the blanks. We'll make it dead simple for you to do this fill in the blank. And then Right Message is the other software, Brennan Dunn software. And the thing that you like about that is it makes it easy for you to take the same landing page and plug in different words based on what you know about them in your database. Or as Brennan demonstrated when he was on Mixergy, when people clicked from my site to his site said, welcome Mixergy readers, you know? And so there's that kind of stuff. So that's the heart of this. This is what you were starting to get into even back then and why your Facebook ads worked well. You were starting to grow your business. I'm looking here at my notes from our producer. You turned that investment of $7,000, which is what you put into Facebook ads, into $27,000 in sales within 30 days. And at that point, you felt, all right, I've got my business. Right?
At that point, I was like, all right, cool. Like I was just by myself, you know? And at that point I was like, wow, I was flying to be honest, right? Until like reality hit me again. I was like, okay, a couple of months from now, I'm going to make 100K a month.
There are a bunch of different things that hit you. One issue is you told our producer, look, my back end at the time was a mess. I want to know what that means when you say your back end was a mess.
Yeah. So, you know, we made some money. I took the money to bring in some people. And then we just spent literally a couple of months, building the foundation of the business. And that's what the back end is.
What does
about,
that mean?
Right? So it basically means, just, you know, having everything tidy and clean, right? A database that works, having the tools working together, having a business model that works. You know what I mean?
Do you remember one tool that you were especially proud of or one system that you're especially proud of that you added?
For example, one thing we did was starting simple. It's called the daily delegation, right? It's a meeting which I do every
the
day
daily
myself.
What?
Daily delegation meeting with yourself.
Daily, right. Daily delegation meeting. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So you just, you know, go through the things which you do every day and you should delegate. Right. So I started to do these things and then I figured out certain things which I do, but shouldn't do.
Daily delegation meeting is you and who talking this through?
Myself.
Oh, it's a meeting just for yourself.
Yeah.
It's on your calendar and you say, what did I do today that I could have delegated?
Exactly. At the end of the day.
Okay. And what are some of the things that you came up with?
Like, you know, you find yourself doing always things you shouldn't do. Like, depends where you are on your stage, right?
For example, at the time, was it customer service?
It was customer service. Yes. It was setting up webinars. It was working around with Zapier. It was, finding a buck in the active campaign, talking to the, you know, all these things.
And you started looking around, who can I get to do this? Who's the first hire that you brought on?
Success. It's customer success. So
customer
that was the first
success.
Hire.
Oh, so customer success is the person who says, this guy bought for me. He expected a result. I'm going to be with them to make sure they get that result, right?
Exactly.
Talk to me specifically within the context of this course that you were creating. And I know that now you're doing consulting and it's the done with you service that you're selling.
Exactly.
But back then it was just a course. It was the beginning of an idea. What did the customer success person do?
The customer success person created a five step milestone program. Okay. And basically the goal was, okay, someone buys our product. Great. Spends a lot of money with us. Great. But that's not great for this person. What does success look like for this person? Right. So the way it starts is once someone buys, they arrive on a thank you page. We ask them, you know, a survey again. Why did you buy? What are you hoping to expect? What's going to be the biggest roadblock? Three questions, right? With that information in hand, we give them a call and say, hey, welcome. You know, welcome to Relationship Funnel. Welcome to World Audience. I'm James. I'm your customer success manager. I'm going to make sure that we, you know, make sure that your problem, which you just told me, your roadblock, that we're going to tackle this. Here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to help, you know, achieve you this goal. That is, you know, what success looks like, right? And then basically it's an email sequence, which is also dynamically generated based on what they tell us to move them along step by step. Okay.
Okay. You know what? So we've been thinking about that for us. I want to give them one metric for the customer success person to focus on so that we could look at that. What's the one metric that you would suggest we use?
I mean, one huge one is the two ones for me. The first one is, of course, upsells, right?
Yep.
So a success guy is a salesperson, right? If you have a backend, that's what a success person does. It helps. It makes the customer happy, moves the customer, you know, forward, so that the next product is ready to be sold to, right? To that person.
But do they sell the next product too?
Depends.
Did
right?
you so have them sell gonna, the next product? Do you recommend that?
They qualify. And then, for example, we have noticed the consulting services and we have the courses, right? So success makes sure they're successful with the course and then figure out certain roadblocks. Aha, you have roadblock X. Let's jump on a call. Let's maybe talk about
it. Jump on a call. And then the consulting seems to make sense. Do they close them or do they pass them to a salesperson?
Sends to the closer, right? The closer then jumps on a call and gets a demo about the next product. I'm the closer right now. Exactly.
Okay. And the language is, it's SDR is the person who's qualifying and the closer is the person who's actually selling. And they're both considered salespeople. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. The SDR is super important. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So how did you find this? Oh, what was the other metric? Sorry. That's a first metric. What's the other one?
Happiness. So for us, it's NPS. NPS.
At what point do they do the NPS survey?
After they complete the first module, we have
after
one.
The first module, you have them do the net promoter score. Okay.
Yes. And then the second one is, we also ask them a question. How likely is it that you would, buy one of our products, a 1 to 10, right? And that helps us also understand how happy they are.
You know what? I've been doing it as something. How much of the course did they complete? And for some people, completing the full course is not the answer. That's not a success. For some people, it's, I've kind of gone through enough of this. I got it. Or I talked to someone in the community. I got it. And now I'm super happy that, okay. All right. I see what you're saying. Boy, there was a question that I just asked that I forgot. Let me take a moment actually to talk about my sponsor then and see if we can come back in and see. Oh, wait, where'd you find this success person?
Friends. All the people we work with are customers or friends of customers.
Okay. Because you're selling to other salespeople, they're all doing the same kind of thing as you. Okay. You know what? My second sponsor is a company called ActiveCampaign. I've talked about why ActiveCampaign is better than other other email marketing software. They hate that I call it email marketing software because they do so much more. They complain to me, but they still don't cancel my sponsorship, which I'm happy with. But you use them. I know you have experience with lots of different software. You tell me, what do you like about ActiveCampaign? Why should somebody use them?
What you get for the price. Okay. When I first started, you know, I'm not sure if it's still, but it's $9. It was $9 a month. I think it's still. And what you get for that is like, just like awesome. It's so awesome.
Like what? What are some of the features? Cause I don't want to say it's just the cheapest.
Yes. No, it's actually not. I'm sure there are cheaper ones out there. Right. But the value you get is extremely amazing because you get like, as you get, lead scoring is a little bit, it's the next package, but you have lead scoring, you have all the automations, you can hook it up with every single system, right? We have our ActiveCampaign hooked up with Close.io, with our customer support tool, success tool, all these things. ActiveCampaign acts as our hub, our heart of our business, right? If ActiveCampaign goes down...
That's what manages everything. Even if somebody clicks something within ManyChat's chatbot software, you send that data into ActiveCampaign. That's where it all gets stored. I also like that what you do is it has the nice fill in the blank. So if you know something about someone, you could change the email by just saying, by just inserting the thing that you know about them. What other one feature do you use that maybe most people don't know about?
One thing we use at ActiveCampaign is, I'm not sure. Like, it's just like, for me, it's just the main thing. What I like about it is that you can actually have everything in one place. And even if you have a membership area or you have, I don't know, like a sales CRM, you can trigger certain things through webhooks, right? For example, if we send out an email, right? And we don't want to have the unsubscribe link, right? Because we want to, you know, we want this email to look like I personally wrote the email and there's no unsubscribe link and we want to get them on a call, right? What we do is we send a webhook from ActiveCampaign to Gmail over Zapier and then trigger the email, right? And that's something no one does, but it's really, really cool. And ActiveCampaign allows you to do that, right?
Okay. Guys, if you're listening to me and you're using a different piece of software, they'll migrate you for free. So if you have another email provider that made sense when you were getting started or happened to be free for a long time and you said, okay, this is great, but now you're hooked on it, you don't have to be. They will migrate you for free. Also, frankly, if you use the link I'm about to give you, they're going to let you try it for free. So experiment with it. See what you could do with it. And if you sign up, they'll even give you a second month free and they'll do two free one-on-one sessions with you with their consultants. That means somebody will get on a call and strategize and say, why did you sign up? Here are the features you should be using. Here's how you should use it. Go do it. And then you come back for a second call and they say, did you do it? All right, where you got stuck, we'll fix it. If you didn't get stuck, we'll move you to the next level by telling you something else you could do, but they will guide you. Real humans, real consultants who do this. Many people who I've interviewed here who are in marketing automation, many, 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 many of them are using ActiveCampaign. Go check them out at activecampaign.com/mixergy. activecampaign.com/mixergy. And you guys, if you're interested in what the pricing is, there's a link right there for pricing. But also check out the features section because I think their gifts are so good, they will start to show you what you could do with marketing automation. Go do it. activecampaign.com/mixergy. By the way, you're doing well at this point in the story. You're a guy who goes to extremes. Are you partying at extremes too at this point? Like, you finally figured it out? You figured out what your business is?
I dance.
Me, what do you mean by dance? Where?
So bachata, that's my thing. Salsa is my thing. Remember bachata?
What is that?
So remember, like, from Silicon Valley, I went down south, right? I went to Colombia, Medellin, right? Which is kind of like the Silicon Valley vacation like place. And there are lots of people who do tech, lots of people who start up, and lots of people who dance, right? So basically your day looks like this. You go work, you go hard, right? You go ham. And then at 7, you go, you know, dance class. And there are lots of people and it's just super fun. And that's what I do. And now 4 to 5 times a week, I just dance, meet
and
a lot of people.
And you go dance. So. I've also heard that there are times when you'll just go dance overnight, multiple days. Most people will do for an hour. They think they're okay. Some people will party till 1 a.m.
Like 4 or 5 hours a day, yeah.
You go 5 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
And then still work.
Yes, and the next day.
What drugs are you on when you're doing that?
You don't do any drugs. You drink one beer because that's part of the entry, and that's it. You know?
That's it.
That's it.
Are you going to tell me differently when we talk in private? Don't hide this part of your life.
No. It fuels you. It's awesome. That's the drug itself, the dancing, you know?
The dancing.
Yeah.
All right. Are you dating or just dancing too?
Just dancing.
Just dancing is enough?
You got to keep them separate.
All right. Okay. All right. So things are going well, but like you said, hey, Andrew, this thing didn't immediately take off. And one of the issues was it Facebook ads?
One of the issues at the beginning was just not being focused.
Okay, but then you got focused, you started to get sales, and things weren't super easy after that.
Then the problem was diversification, right? So at the beginning, when you start out, you want to pick one thing and just double down on that, right? But once you made that one thing work, you need to, like, ahead of time being able to, like, start to diversify. And we missed that step. And then exactly, you know, when Facebook switched around, actually, we just were still on Facebook only. And that just, you know, was a big pain in the ass. And we had to slowly pick up. And
what was now it that they like changed? When, what was it about their algorithm that changed?
What exactly changed? I don't know. I just looked at our numbers.
Oh, you're just saying suddenly one day your ads didn't work as well as they did before, and it's not something you did.
I was paying, you know, $2 for leads and $4 for confirmed RBS leads, and then like $7 for webinars, and now everything is like triple. I'm like, huh.
What's an RBS lead?
For us, it's like when people actually go into the email sequence, the RBS is the relationship builder sequence. They need to go through the second survey, right? So that's, of course,
Email is good, but someone who's actually going through the second survey is the real value for you. It's not enough to just get email. Okay. Exactly. All right. So then when Facebook hit you with that, what did you do to fix your business?
So basically, we follow a strategy called the Bullseye framework, traffic framework. Basically,
Gabriel Weinberg, you did a course here on Mixergy about it. Yes. He's the founder of DuckDuckGo.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
So what you did was you made a list of all the different things you could do, the probability of success based on what you could do, and then you pick three to experiment with. What'd you experiment with?
For 90 days, we do social advertising, we do content, and we do public speaking.
Okay, those are the three like that you decided to focus on?
Yes.
And that's why I got harassed by you, because I'm part of your public speaking?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole, like, you know, publication stuff. Yeah.
Okay. All right. There's nothing to be embarrassed about here. All right. And so of those, was one starting to become the breakout hit for you?
Yes, I think the podcast thing is awesome, because the public speaking thing is awesome, because once you do a lot, right? Once you do a lot, you start, you know, getting noticed, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time, but people see you around. They type your name into iTunes and you show up like 25 times, right? So that's one thing. But for us, the main thing, I think, what changed it was starting to double down on content. So the money we used to spend mainly on Facebook, we now take, and, you know, we have an editor, we have a writer, we have a distributor, right? So actually building content assets. And what I mean by that is we, you know, reach out to Buffer, we reach out to HubSpot, we tell them, hey, we want to interview this the VP of sales. Let's jump on a call just like you do here, right? We record the whole thing, and then we have the video, we have the audio, we turn it into three to four blog posts, right? With one main one and a few smaller ones, right? And then we distribute it, we use it for retargeting, we turn it into videos, we turn it into Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and so on.
But the main thing is that you take the one interview and you turn it into all those different mediums.
Everything else, yes.
Okay.
And the reason why we do it, instead of just teaching about sales funnels and, hey, that's how you 3x your ROI, we say, okay, here's what you can do. Like, that's how we will do it. But we always base it on another company. So the interviews are always about the company and what they do or what they did and what the results are. And then we can take their numbers, we can take what they do, and then we can feedback it, we can improve it, and so on.
I'm starting to look and see one of the big things that worked for you was being on indiehackers.com, for example. But I'm trying to understand what you did there. And it seems like it's a case study that you published somewhere.
About ActiveCampaign probably?
About ActiveCampaign.
Yeah.
Okay. And all right. And you basically took the blog post about, did you write it for your site or for their site?
Our site. Everything is in our blog.
Okay. But it's also copied and pasted into their site. All right. And so people are reading your case study about ActiveCampaign, how you built a sales funnel and grew to 50,000 customers. It's not 50,000 customers, 50,000 email subscribers, right?
It's ActiveCampaign's numbers, right? It's ActiveCampaign, how they grew from 0 to 50K customers.
Oh, you're doing
right?
a case study on them. You didn't do Jack.
Yes.
You just interviewed them, and you turned it into content on Indie Hackers and also on your site. I see. This is part of your strategy. Who leads that
exactly.
for you?
Nathan.
Someone on
so
the team.
Someone
on the team, a guy named Nathan.
Yes, exactly.
Under your guidance?
Yeah, not anymore.
You gave him. You said, "Here's what we need you to do. Here's my vision for it."
I created a content strategy exactly.
So and then what was Nathan's background? I feel like I need a Nathan.
He's an editor.
He's an editor. And you just found him through a friend.
He is the remembered is one article I first published, which got a lot of negative feedback.
Yes.
I met a guy called Nathan, right? And he said, don't worry about it. Like, you got 50% good, 50% negative.
Ah, so that's you then hired him to be this guy, but he's not full time with you.
No.
But he's doing
He's working.
This is clever. You see, I'm telling you, this is not the, like the typical Mixergy interview. I'm doing this for myself. I just am fascinated by how you operate. I'm fascinated by you. Okay. That then started to grow your business. At what point did you say, no more education being the focus, we're going to be the done with you? And I'd never heard of done with you before. I always thought, look, I do it myself, or I hire a company that does it for me. And what I'm learning is that there's an in-between spot where the company says, we're not going to take on all the weight of having to do your work. We're going to show you and do it with you and then let you move on without us, which is reassuring for the client, but also great for the business because you're not taking everyone else's problems on, right? That's done for, done with you.
Done with you. And it's super scalable, right? So either usually we work with people who are companies who have their in-house team. They just don't know how to do it, right? They want it. They just don't, right? And they're not the type of people who go through a course, right? So that's why they, you know, purchase done with you, right? If they don't have people, I introduce you to Nathan, to Andrew, to all my people, right? So either or, there's a solution.
And then that's how you get it done. Okay. At what point did you say this is our next step versus continuing with education where the margins are much higher?
It was the business model change. We wanted to change the business model because once, you know, you get clients which pay you between 10 and 50K, just the game of advertising changes, right? You can just now do certain, you can do things, you can spend more. It's just different.
You wanted to be able to charge more so you could afford to pay more for advertising.
One thing, and now, you know, at the beginning, our goal was to be super profitable with the courses. Now, I don't care about the profitability of the courses. What I care about is just getting them not profitable, just not like break even so that we can get a lot, as many buyers as possible, right? As many buyers as possible to then call them for the consulting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Because the consulting is, and so what do you charge for consulting?
It starts at 10K, but it really depends on what you need.
Okay. And it's always a let's chat button on your site for that. I hit the button, let's chat, and then I get to pick a time on a calendar. Whose calendar am I going for that?
James.
James. And he's the closer or the SDR?
The SDR.
He's the SDR.
Yeah, the SDR. Yes.
Ah, and it's always the SDR getting to learn your situation. If it's not a good fit, like they're just getting started in business, they want to do things right from the beginning.
Budget.
Right. At that point, what is he? Let's say someone listens to this interview and says, you know what? I'm going to go check this out. They hit the button. They go to your calendar, to James's calendar, and they say, I'm just getting started, but I want to get started the right way. What would you do? What would James do?
So if James, you know, qualifies that person, figures out, okay, it's a bad fit for RF Mastery, for our consulting project, then we will, of course, if it makes sense, offer a relationship funnel, which is our course, right?
Okay. And on the call, he does that.
Then he becomes the closer.
And on the call, he closes them. He says, look, you're getting started. To pay $10,000 for Bastion to go do this and his team just doesn't make sense for you. What you should probably do is learn this on your own, get a little bit of progress. And then when you're ready and you're overwhelmed, you come to us and we'll do it for you. I've got this. That's the thing.
Exactly. And then usually it depends.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, like, either usually, you know, you can't close that person right on the same call. So we end the call with, okay, you know what? Here's a page. I want you to check this out. But you know what? You have a calendar in front of you. Let's book a call in 4 days from now and let's talk about any concerns and then they close.
All right. This makes sense. Okay.
Two-step close.
Is James full-time with you or part-time?
Full-time.
Full-time. At what point? So I've been thinking of adding salespeople. Mm-hmm. At what point did you bring in a salesperson? Did you bring him in full-time? What's the process for doing that?
So,
your process? Not the ideal, not how you do it now, but how did you do it?
For us, it was a transition. So James didn't come in for sales. He was the guy who came in for success, right? So now he's doing success and sales and SDR, sorry. Yeah. And it just, you know, works really good together, right? So that's why it's perfect. At some point, you probably have to have like a full-time salesperson, but I don't have a full-time salesperson.
And the SDR was, oh, so you don't have a...
James is the success guy, 50%, and 50% the SDR, right?
The SDR, right? But you don't have a full-time sales closer, you're saying?
No.
You're the closer?
I'm the closer right now.
Because it's a $10,000 product, it's you, got it.
Yeah. At some point, you know, we will like get someone to be the closer, right? Maybe probably James will become the closer and someone new comes in to be the SDR, right?
All right. How much money you guys bring in now?
Really depends on the month, but usually it's around 100K a month.
100K a month. How much from doing the work? How much from the courses?
Courses used to be last year way more until we changed this around. So being the bigger punch of the revenue share, the part, right? And now we're just pumping up consulting, right? Since this year, and it's around 50-50 right now.
Okay.
And most of all leads who become our consulting leads first buy the course.
And then they got it.
Yeah.
You know what?
They buy the course and they're like, oh man, it's just too much work, right? I need someone to do it together with me.
Tell me something. You've got good style to you. You're wearing a shirt that's open, right? It looks good.
There was one more thing open. I was like, I got to close it.
It was just because of this, right? You said, look, I'm going to get on and be a little conservative, but your hair is kind of wild. Right. You've got a necklace that looks good. You've got on your website, you've got good design in some places, but then I look at your homepage. You've got great photos, by the way, and I like to use the same photo for years. So when I saw you in my inbox, whatever reportive tool that I have showed me your photo and I recognize, I go, I've seen this guy somewhere. I got to pay attention. And then I go to your freaking homepage. It's like a picture of you. You don't have the energy to take your earphones out. You've cropped out your chin from it. It just, this is your homepage. This is the thing that welcomes people. I believe there's a reason for that. Is it because you're staring me in the eyes with your eyes and you like that stare? It's like some kind of, I don't know, kind of mind fuck or what is this?
Like, you know, like we just don't have another picture. It's just, you know,
it was just, this is the photo we have and we're going to go with it.
That's it. Like, you know, like 2 weeks ago, we got our logo. So like, you know, taking it step by step.
Okay. So there's no logic behind it. It's not like if I look like I've just handmade it, people are going to feel more connected to me or any of that.
No, it's just like, okay, I have two pictures. Usually I take that. Let's try the other one.
All right.
But people keep saying they don't like it. So maybe I should change it.
People say they don't like the picture?
Yeah. At least my sister doesn't like it.
You know what? Here's what I think about it. I think the homemade part of it makes you look much more approachable. And so I was happy to talk to you, but it keeps you from feeling like you've got a big agency that I should spend tens of thousands and be glad that you're spending time with me.
You know what? Like on our proposal right now, it's me and my dog. And James yesterday was like, dude, like you got to get rid of your dog, man. You
I think in some places it works. I think in others it doesn't. I also think in some places the fact that you used like quick screen sharing works for you. And other places it feels like too homemade for a business that I would take seriously. You know who does this well? Brad Martineau from Sixth Division. He doesn't have a lot, but everything just looks so freaking polished. You go, I want that perfection. How did he make things that perfect? I want that.
Uh-huh. Nice.
All right. I gotta check him out. With you, what I got is I like his attitude. I feel like he's at that hustler stage. I want that hustler energy. I want that energy that's going to find a way that we're not supposed to do. I want you back on Mixergy. I don't know how. I really like that we did this. What I would like is more of like this. I would like to communicate more of what you did with me privately, where you sent me those videos and you said, here's how we do things. That's the part that electrified me. I think we captured some of that here.
Yeah, I think we did.
I feel like we should hire you for something. I don't know for what. I want to work with you guys. All right. So now here's the weird thing. So I've been doing podcasts for our chatbot business. I get on. I always have a unique URL that I give it every show. I notice you don't do that. It's just like go to Wild Audience. How do you know if this podcast is successful for you or not?
We do wildaudience.com/podcast.
But that's it. But you didn't even give that to me. Is it because I was too intimidating?
I'm not sure. Slash podcast. That's where you want to go. That's where all the people get tagged with podcast in AC.
Right. And that's what I would usually mention, you're supposed to do is say, look, I've got an ebook that's supposed to teach you this. Go to wildaudience.com/podcast.
What I usually say is like, you know, like if you want to see exactly what we talked about in action, like if you want to see the whole funnel play out, if you want to see how everything's customized and stuff like that, then you should check out this ebook.
That's what I do. I think that a lot of other people should do the same thing. It should actually be a unique URL that connects to what you've said. So it should be something like, You know what? If you guys want to see this video that Andrew's talking about, just go to wildaudience.com/mixergy. I'll put it up there. You'll see this video, and then it'll also help you understand how we work. Like, that kind of thing is a direct connection. But I'm surprised. I'm surprised how many marketers don't do that with me. And I think it's because I do intimidate them, that I'm not fucking around here. We're going to get down to business. And then they think, you know what? I'm just going to, let's go on and trust Andrew's system instead of, I think that's what it is.
Could be, yeah.
It also is probably why I don't have as much fun as some of my other guests, like Joel, what's his name? Joel Combs. Joel Combs sent me his book. Even the shipping bag that he uses for his book is fun because he likes to have fun. Uh-huh. He sent me a toy with it because he likes to have fun. Like, he's a guy who likes to have fun. I'm like way the opposite. All right. We did not have fun here. I guess we did. Begrudgingly, I had fun here. What I really liked is that we got specific here. We got specific about how you use SDRs. We got specific about your process for taking content and putting it out. Well, we could have been a little more specific about that, but we covered that. I understand your funnel a little bit better because of this. Anyone who wants to understand it even more can go to wildaudience.com/podcast if you want to, or just wildaudience.com. And I want to thank my two sponsors for making this happen. The first sponsor is the company that Bastion uses. It's called ActiveCampaign. Check them out at activecampaign.com/mixergy. The second is a company that will help you hire better. It is called TopTal. I hired a great, phenomenal finance person from them. It's like having a McKinsey. It is. He's a former McKinsey consultant. I now have a McKinsey consultant who I get to pay on an hourly basis because I work through TopTal. This is like the future coming to my business right now. And finally, anyone who likes this interview and wants more of it should just say, "Hey, Alexa, play Mixergy podcast." And then you get to listen to the Mixergy podcast on your freaking Alexa device. That's amazing. You should do it. We're on there. Bastian, thanks so much for doing this.
I tried that, by the way.
What do you think?
I love Alexa. It's so cool.
Right? I was against it for a long time, but do you use it for anything other than podcast and music?
Light, meditation, bird sounds. My favorite part is like open bird sounds. In the morning, it's like, you know, it's like in the ocean. It's perfect. When you go to sleep, the sun comes in and the birds are twittering. It's great.
Yeah, you know what? I have used it for white noise for the kids' room to help them fall asleep. But for the most part, I use it for music, and I'm fine with that. If it does nothing but get me music when I want it, I'm happy. I love music. All right. Bastian, thanks so much for doing this interview. Thank you all for listening to this interview. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thanks so much.